Today, we'd like to see the title of the Be Holy in the Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 36. To online words of people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in this chapter 19, what verse is a key verse? And why? How should we be so? Question two, in verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Why should they do so? And what is God's intention here? And how should we do? Question 3, in verse 18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. How did Jesus summarize in simple, including this last phrase of love your neighbor as yourself, the Ten Commandments? And how can we apply Jesus' summary to our life? First of all, to be holy means to set apart from the earth and to belong to God. That means to be holy. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, so God spoke God's word through Moses, to whom? Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel. So here, audience, all the congregation of the children of Israel, so or the people of Israel, and say to them, say to Israelites, you shall be holy, because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. This verse is a key verse, too, because your God, the Lord, is holy, you, as the people of God, shall be holy. How about in the New Testament, to all of Christians too? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19-20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So simply, the Spirit lives in you because you were bought at a price. Because God bought you at a price of his son's blood. That's why you belong to God. So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, or which are God's only. So now you belong to God. Belong to God means be holy. So Israel people, same way, out of Exodus, because God delivered the Israel people from the death in the last 10 plagues by the lamb's blood posted on the door post, upper post. So therefore, those people belong to God. So belong to God means be holy. Verse 3, every one of you shall revere or fear his mother and his father. So honor your parents. That's the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. The summary of all laws, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. The first four commandments had to do with your relationship with God on the first stone of a table. Number one, you shall not have any other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make any graven images. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath day, I will explain in later in detail. Sabbath day, literal meaning, Friday sunset up to Saturday sunset. That is Saturday. Because God created six days, to starting date Sunday, up to Friday before sunset. So therefore, the last day, the seventh day, Saturday or Sabbath day, God take a rest. That's why God asked Israel people to take a rest and all together worshiping God in that way. Then the second six commandments had to do with your relationship with your neighbor. Neighbor, Jesus defined in Good Samaritan, whoever needs help, considered as a neighbor. Because one guy was robbed by a thief or robbery, so that is an injured person considered as a neighbor. So that's why neighbor defines whoever needs in need or help. Number five, honor your father and mother. Number six, you shall not kill. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not lie. Number 10, you shall not covet. So then, and verse 3, and keep my Sabbath. That's similar to verse 4, commandment, I am the Lord your God. Verse 4, do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods or graven gods. So don't make idols. So like the second commandment, I am the Lord your God. So again, key verse is you shall be holy because your God is holy. So in order to be holy, so do not make any idols. Number five, verse five, and if you offer a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord. In the Old Testament, there are several offerings. So peace offering is offer first to sacrifice meat to God, usually by burning. They're called burnt offering, burning. And then share it with people. First, some portion, usually the fat part used to offer to God by burnt offering because God received the smell over the fat in burning. So then left over meat to sharing all together, you know, with people, worshipers together. That's called is a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord. You shall offer it over your own free will. Here, without free will, our loving God would not be manifested. So, and God created Adam and Eve, God gave a free will to Adam. So you may eat any tree except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So because of free will given, so sadly, Adam exercised the free will to take a forbidden fruit against God's will. So disapprove his loving God. So God wants our loving relationship with God, not legal relationship. So any offering and tithes require free will. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, that in a great trial of affliction, in abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. Liberality, which meaning freely, they made offering to God. That is basically Philippi Christians, Philippi churches. Paul talked about Philippi, you know, Christians to Corinthian Christians. For because I bear witness that according to their ability, the Philippi Christians' ability, yes, and beyond their ability, to make a certain amount of offering to God, they were freely willing. So here, disciple mentioned whatever offering to God through church require free will, not in a forced, not in a is a forced offering at all. So today, most 100 countries, personal income tax rate above 35%, much higher than 10% for government. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, the Israel first government, Saul king's dynasty, that time God said tenth, he will take, Saul the king, he will take a tenth of your share, and you will be his servants. So basically, God, you know, from beginning set up the church, the temple, the 10%, that's a tithe, plus offering, and the government, King Saul dynasty, so 10% from beginning. But today is most country more than 35%. United States, every 38%, or Sweden, you know, 45%, you know, England, much higher. So above 35%. That's why it's hard to make offering and tithes to God through church. But nevertheless, why Jesus teaches us to make offering and tithes to church for God? So there is Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes." So they made a tithe to God over mint and anise and cumin. A lot of agriculture and fruit, you know, 10% given to God, and have neglected the weighty matter of the law, neglected their heart to love God. Here, neglected the weightier matter, which means more important matter, number one, justice, number two, mercy, number three, faith. So they neglect God is just, else God is merciful. So they don't have a faith in God. So without, you know, the faith over, you know, God's justice or God's merciful, they made a just, you know, tithe, you know, to temple. You know, that is a legal relationship, no loving relationship, some kind of mental requirement kind of thing. That's why Jesus said, "These you should have done. These is you first. You should have a heart, matter of heart, free will heart, and without leaving the others undone, then you made a tithe." So also 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, that one is that Jesus said. Church is, but the next question, so church is a group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. So everyone has an earthly house or earthly physical body which needs money. So because church meaning a group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. So the people had earthly body. Earthly body needs material. That's your food, clothes, whatever thing. That's why it needs money. Thus, money is not avoidable. Because we know that everything belongs to God. You know, everything's God's owner, 100% God. But God asks us to make offering, you know, and tithe. You know, how come? Because church means the people. So a group of people who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. So everyone has earthly tabernacle, earthly house, earthly physical body, which needs money. Therefore, money is not avoidable. Also, offering and tithes are tokens of heart to love God more than material. So here, the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So right now, so we live is utterly tabernacle. That's why we need a material. So material obviously requiring money. So that's the reason. So it's a bottom line of further commercial activity is discouraged in church. For example, Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 and 13. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold, buying and selling, commercial activity in the temple. So overturned the tables of money changers, because they needed some money changers, Roman money into church money, that time used Hebrew money. So obviously they needed exchange money. But Jesus don't like you make a profit, you know, exchanging money in the temple. So, and the seats of those who sold doves, somebody doves make offering, you know, to God. So, and Jesus said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves, den of thieves. Not really, you know, convenience to worshipers, rather than they make a commercial activity profit making. So God, you know, doesn't want church as the place for a commercial activity, business sense, is like that. So it is a bottom line that the Lord builds his church through those who love him and his word. Anyway, church, Jesus himself is a building through those who love God and God's word. That is Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. I also say to you, Peter, that you are Peter and the rock. I will build my church. So the rock meaning the Peter's face. The rock, Peter's not physical body. Peter's face, Peter said, you are the Son of God and Messiah. Son of living God, Messiah. And the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Then verse 6, it shall be eaten here, verses 6 to 8, you know, basically, you are to sacrifice the meat of a peace offering shall be eaten on the same day and the next day, only 2 days. Thereafter, the leftover meat shall be burned in the fire. If you eat the expired meat, you shall be subject to death penalty because of the unholy meat. So that time, no refrigerator, so use the sacred meat such as a cow or goat and sheep. So leftover meat, you must eat within 2 days, no longer than 2 days. So if you eat expired one, so you shall be subject to death penalty. You consider the eat unholy meat. So you become unholy too. Verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not holy meaning 100%, reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. The next question, why? Which meaning, when you harvest only one time, not taking 100% all gleans over barley or wheat, or don't do so. Why? Verse 10, and you shall not glean your vineyard, your any the farm fruit, your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them while here for the poor and the stranger. So here, considering the poor people and the stranger, meaning foreigners, considering foreigners. So for the poor and the foreigner, that's God's desire. So that is love neighbors as yourself in order to be holy. So this is the bottom line. The owner of the land is God. You are just stewards or a manager. This earth is a temporary home. Our eternal home is in heaven. So that's the bottom line. That is, it looks like you own the title of the land, but actually that is a legal title, but the actual owner, God. God owns all the earth. Because from the beginning, God created the earth and heaven. So without that, there is a 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we are stewards of some part. Also, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, 16. This land is home, is a temporary home. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers or foreigners and pilgrims on the earth. We are foreigners and pilgrims on the earth because those who say such things desire plainly, they seek a homeland. This homeland is temporary, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So when where you were born, you may opportunity to return where you were born. That's called is home, country. But that is a temporal. But verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country, heavenly home. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them in heaven. So all Christians on the earth, this is a temple, country or temple home. We are, bottom line is foreigners on the earth, because our ultimate home in heaven, the kingdom of God, and that's the ultimate home. That is original God's intention. So whenever you harvest, vineyard or is wheat yard, wheat field, barley field, so you harvest only once, not complete it twice, the third time. That kind of example, Ruth chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, Ruth here. So Ruth the Moabites, Ruth is a foreigner, not Israelite. Ruth is a foreigner. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Great-grandmother of King David. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi. Naomi is a mother-in-law, the Hebrew, the Jews. Please let me go to the field and glean heads of the grain after him, in whose sight I may find a favor. Him, that means Boaz. Boaz fields, so he's harvest only one time, the gleaned, not second time. And she said to her, go, my daughter-in-law. Then she left and went and gleaned it in the field after the reapers. So these reapers once reaped. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So in that way, we see that. Verse 11, you shall not steal. Steal is like eighth commandment, nor deal falsely. Falsely like a lie, like a ninth commandment, no lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely. Falsely is here, maybe similar to third commandment. Don't make God's name in vain. And the ninth, don't lie. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. Like third commandment of ten commandments. Why? In order to be holy, because God is holy. Verse 13, you shall not cheat your neighbor. This is like also don't lie, the ninth commandment, no rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. So employee wage shall be paid on time, not be delayed. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear you, God, I am the Lord. So don't mistreat handicapped person. Don't mistreat handicapped person. Verse 15, you shall do no injustice or no unrighteousness in judgment. Do justice or do righteousness or equity in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor. This is an interesting phrase. You shall not give a favor to the poor people because they are poor in material sense, which meaning you should even the poor people to be equal, to be righteous. But Matthew chapter 5 verse 30, Jesus' sermon on the mount said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is not the poor in material. In spirit meaning humble heart. You know, the poor in spirit because there is the kingdom of heaven. So here is blessed are the poor in spirit, not the poor in material. So we can see some people, the poor people in material, really greedy, you know, really coveting, you know, kind thing. So it is not necessary to poor people in material. So here, you shall not give a favor to the poor people, nor honor the person of the mighty. So don't give a favor to a powerful person. In righteousness, you shall judge your neighbor. So you should judge in equity, in righteousness. Verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer or a gossiper among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. This one, don't take advantage at the endangered life of your neighbor. That's called like a virtues on dead body. So one dead body, a lot of virtues come on there. That is a bad lawyers on injured person for a lucrative property, or a bad physician on a serious ill person. So don't do so in order to be holy. I am the Lord. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor. Rebuke is a Bible with love. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. So somebody sinning, meaning progressive sinning, continually sinning, practice of a sin, that kind of thing is rebuke him or her before all other Christians. Yeah. Because and one example, example. So that kind of sense, you shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. So that is a sinner. Verse 18, you shall not take a vengeance. Vengeance is or wrath. So the Bible says only God, you know, can be judged. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we are doer, we are not judge. So nor bear any grudge. Grudge is meaning. Grudge is another word, bitterness. So the Bible said is the bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this, by the root of bitterness, many become defiled, many become polluted. So don't bear any grudges, any bitterness, because that kind of bitterness is pollute, you know, other people, influences other people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Including this prayer, Jesus summarized in simple the Ten Commandments from most negative sentences, except the fifth commandment, to positive sentences by vertical loving relationship with God from number one commandment up to four commandments, and the horizontal loving relationship with neighbor from number five up to 10. There is Matthew chapter 22, verses 35-40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing Jesus and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So which meaning love God foremost. Then this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what does it mean? By fulfilling Jesus' simple two commandments, it is discovered for us to follow all of God's other laws as well in New Testament. For example, blood food, anything from food, blood food, verse 26, or tattoo, or Sabbath, verse 13. So we are seeing, you know, continually. So verse 19, you shall keep my statute, you shall not let your livestock breed with another kind, or don't mix blood with other kinds of animal. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed. Why? In general, our God is not the author of disorder or confusion, but of peace. God is author of order. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 and 40. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Let all things be done decently and in order. So that's why God, you know, doesn't want to mix with the blood of animals, because God is not author of confusion. So rather than is peace or order. But here is an interesting question. Nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Recently, I bought a pajama, the night, you know, the gown. So that says 70% linen, 30% wool. But this is a phrase, it's different from today. It's different from today. Today is a New Testament, and Jesus said, loving God foremost, yeah, then is loving your neighbor as yourself. So the merged into the two commandments, the two greatest commandments like that. So that's why I said, in general, our God is not the author of confusion, disorder, but of peace, you know, I can say. Verse 20, whoever lies carnally with a woman who is betrothed to a man as a concubine and who has not at all been, this is 20 up to 22, then meaning NIV this way, if a man sleeps with a female slave who is promised to another man, which meaning female slaves had engagement to another man for marriage, but the owner of a female slave, he slept with her in decades his, but who has not been ransomed or given her freedom because she's a slave, there must be due punishment. But he is not subject to death penalty, but he must be subject to punishment. What's the punishment here? The Bible says, a ram as a trespass offering required. So simply meaning, they bring a ram as a trespass offering sacrifice to give a priest. Priest kill ram's blood, so cover up his sin. He's sleeping with his female slave. That kind of commandment. So that one, verses 20 up to 22. The priest shall make atonement covering sin for him with a ram of the trespass offering before the Lord for his sin which he has committed, and the sin which he has committed shall be forgiven him. Then verses 23 up to 25, that is an interesting law too. When you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count their fruit as uncircumcised. Then here, when you come into new land, you plant your fruit trees, but the first 3 years you shall not eat the fruits, fertilizing the land. Then in the first year, their fruits are offered to God. In the fifth year, you may eat them. And that kind of law. Basically, when you plant in a fruit in a certain area, 3 years, you cannot eat the fruit. Fruit obviously fertilized on the land. Then the first year, the first fruit, you should be given to God. On fifth year, you may eat whatever fruit. Then verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood or any food with the blood. Why? There is Leviticus in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 and 12 say, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for covering your sin, for your souls. But for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat the blood. So that's why Old Testament don't eat blood, because the life of the flesh is in the blood, so don't eat that. But how about in New Testament? In New Testament, you may eat as long as your heart is to love God more than the blood food, anything with blood. So then how about, why? Because the 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1, 6, 9 say, because the Corinthian people, some Corinthian people, the issue over the meat offered to idols, the issue is coming out whether or not we may eat the meat offered to idols, that issue come out. Here, Paul said, now concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge purpose up, but love edifies. One knowledge, verse 6 explained, yet for us there is one God the Father, over whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Simply meaning, every animal comes from God. God created them. So every meat, no matter what they offered to idol or not, that's coming from God. So therefore, we give thanks to the Lord. We may eat the meat offered to idol. Yeah. That's knowledge. But here, second issue, love that is in the New Testament the greatest commandment. Love issue. Next issue. Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becoming a stumbling block to those who are weak. Weak meaning those who are weak in this knowledge. With this knowledge, every meat, every animal coming from God, weak in this knowledge, which meaning you may eat the meat offered to idol. They consider you may fellowship with the idols. So because of them, he should not eat that meat offered to idols before them. That's the same token right here. So how about before those who are weak in this knowledge of things come from God? So even blood coming from God. So in that case, is we should not eat thing from the blood, kind of thing. Nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. This one is God doesn't want why spiritual adultery. They we should counsel from God, not from evil spirit. Divination, soothsaying, or chanting. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 to 11, they said, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That is Moloch worship. One who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Somebody, you know, to call the spirit from death. That is always, it is prohibited because they consider it as a spiritual adultery. So that one also, verse 31 also, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. So do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That is the same content. Now, 27. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoos any marks on you. I am the Lord. Here, those types of then pagan worshippers. How about today? 12 types of tattoos of Satan worshippers in Hollywood. How about this next question? Tattooed Christian himself? Tattooed Christian himself? Because somebody got tattooed, then believed in Christian and believed in Christ. That time is a Christian, the question coming out. Does he need to erase tattoo as long as his heart is to love God more than that tattoo? But next question, how about before those that are weak in this knowledge of a tattoo, not as a mark of pagan worshippers? In before those people, cover tattoo before them because of your heart to love them as yourself. So that kind of count. Always in New Testament, we should think of a greatest commandment. Yeah. First, the love the most, then the love is your neighbor as yourself in the dead token. Verse 29, do not prostitute your daughter to go cause her to be a harlot. This is don't fall your daughter into sexual immorality. So the land become full of wickedness. Verse 30, you shall keep my Sabbath. Sabbath is like a first commandment between Israel people and God. How about in the New Testament? New Testament, We are most Christians worshiping on Sunday, not Saturday. So that answer is Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 and 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But Pharisees criticized disciples to violate the Sabbath day. But Jesus said, "The Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath," which means Lord, meaning that Jesus Christ himself is the creator of the Sabbath. So which meaning, as long as Christ is in our heart, that date is a Sabbath day. So basically, I can say Sabbath day, every day is a Sabbath day for me, because every day Christ who lives in me, that's why Sabbath day in that way. So, but next question, how about before those that are weak in this knowledge? So over every day as a Sabbath day, because Jesus is the Lord over Sabbath. And before then, I should not, work so on the Saturday, because I don't want to be stumbling block to those that are weak, because I love them as myself. You know, that kind of context. This is the same way. Verse 31, give no regard to mediums and familiar. We'll let it cover that. 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed. This is a gray-headed which shall rise. That means honor the elderly people. Honor the presence of the older man. Rise before the older people in a signal of honor. Honor the presence of older men. The wisdom through their life experiences often delivers you from traps. So verse 33, if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. Stranger meaning foreigner. So he is your neighbor, a person who needs help. So love him as yourself. So God said, you were strangers, foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. That's God's heart. God's heart always loves foreigners as yourself. So we are Christians. We are representative of Christ. So we should love foreigners. Yeah. Verse 35, you shall do no injustice in judgment. So here, in measurement of length, weight, or volume, you shall have honest scales or just scales, honest weight, and honest ephah. Ephah is a Hebrew dry volume unit, 3/5 bushel, or 21.12 liters. An honest hin. Hin is the Hebrew liquid volume unit, 1 gallon. Or 3.79 liters. So I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So don't cheat the unit of management. So then, therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgment and do them. I am the Lord, in order to be holy. So let's see each question briefly. Question one, in this chapter, what verse is a key verse? Verse is 2. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. So, and why should we be so? We, meaning as a born again Christian, we are bought by God with Jesus' blood. So we belong to God. Belong to God, which meaning we should be holy too. Question 2, in verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly 100% reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Why should they do so? Because the next verse 10 says, for the poor people and the strange, the foreigners, that's why. And what is God's intention here? God's intention here, because all land is the owner is God, you are just stewards. So you should love is poor people and strangers as yourself. That's God's intent. How should we do? We should love foreigners, the poor people, as ourselves. You know, because Jesus said that's the greatest commandment. You know, so question 3 in verse 18: You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. How did Jesus summarize in simple, including the last phrase of love your neighbor as yourself, the Ten Commandments? Jesus summarized all the Ten Commandments, the just relationship, vertical relationship and horizontal relationship. But Jesus developed a simple way, loving relationship. First, love God, you know, at the most, with your heart, with your soul, with your strength. Well, then is horizontal relationship, is love your neighbor as yourself. Also, Jesus make only positive sense, because the Ten Commandments is except fifth commandment, honor your parents, but all negative. You know, don't have any God before you, all negative. You shall not make any graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So all negative, but Jesus make a positive sentence too. So that is, and how can we apply Jesus' summary to our life? We already give an example, you know, three of them. One is anything from blood, you know, how can it apply? So there is, blood also coming from the Lord. So we may eat it in the knowledge, but love is more important. You know, some people might be is stumbled because over my eating blood sausage. Yeah. In that case, I am stopped before those who are weak in this knowledge. Also, second, you know, example I give tattoo. Because some people is a prisoner, he have a lot of tattoo, but become Christian. So, you know, how can do that? So he cannot erase tattoo as long as he loves God more than that tattoo. Yeah. But before, those who are weak in this knowledge, particularly the Leviticus chapter 19, particular verse, so that is considered as a pagan worshiper. That kind of cover tattoo, because not for himself, but for those who are weak in their knowledge, in that kind of context. So there's a point. Okay, let's just sing song all together at page 2, number 3. Page 2, number 3.